Today on Maine Calling, what's in store for health insurance costs in Maine? If you've seen the headlines, health insurance costs expected to skyrocket in the new year, you're likely wondering, does that apply to me? Or you might be wondering if the government shutdown will affect MaineCare or Medicare. Good questions. And it is easy to be confused. Health insurance is complicated and many different factors contribute to its cost, from rising pharmaceutical costs to potential government cuts. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we turn to the people who oversee and work closely with health insurance plans in Maine to answer those questions and to seek guidance on how to plan for coverage in the year to come. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible by contributing listeners and support from Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure throughout Maine, now open in Bangor, Waterville, and Augusta, and by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering healthcare, education, and support to islands and coastal Downeast communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Even under the best of circumstances, navigating the world of health insurance is challenging. But now, with the government shutdown and questions about the future of healthcare subsidies, figuring it out is more confusing than ever. Today, we have a panel of experts to help get answers to your questions about signing up for health insurance and knowing what to expect in the new year. Joining me for the hour, Hillary Schneider, who is director at the Maine Department of Health and Human Services Office of Health Insurance Marketplace. Kate Endy is policy director with Consumers for Affordable Healthcare. And Bob Carey is superintendent of the Maine Bureau of Insurance. We invite you to join the conversation. What questions do you have about signing up for health care with the MaineCare Marketplace? What are other questions you might have about your health insurance? Send an email, a brief email, to talk@mainepublic.org. Post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Welcome back to all three of you. Bob, I'm going to start with you. We're going to start by acknowledging that this is all very confusing and that there are several different ways that people in Maine get health insurance. I understand each of them will likely see premiums go up, but different types of insurance rates are going up for different reasons. We're going to try to break it down. About 1/10 of Maine people get their insurance through something called the small and individual group market. And these are primarily people who work for a smallish company, right? And this is the group you regulate. How much will their premiums go up on average and why?
Thank you for having us on again, Jennifer. This is an important time, not just for the commercial insurance market, but we should also likely touch on the Medicare market. But to your question about the individual and small group market, so these are small employers with 50 or fewer employees and individuals, many of whom, most of whom get their insurance through CoverMe. And the rates are appreciably higher in 2026 than they were in 2025 on average. They're going up about 24% for individuals and 17% for small groups. But that average is distorted by a few, you know, extremely high increases and others that are, I guess, you know, high single digits to low double digits. So I guess the first thing people should do is look at their options when they're going to shop for coverage. Again, this is really for individuals, all of whom will renew on January 1. The increases are largely due to the cost of services and the utilization of services. So we, you know, when we look and analyze the rates, again, the Bureau of Insurance looks at individual and small group rates that are submitted by the five insurance companies that are available in those markets. And, you know, it's the underlying cost that's driving it. And unfortunately, Maine's not alone. In the individual markets all across the country, we're seeing massive increases in some states, you know, 30% 35% increases, which is really untenable. And so, you know, it's driven by price and it's driven by utilization. And, you know, GLP-1s, which are, you know, have doubled in popularity or in utilization over the last 18 months. I just read a study that suggested that, you know, 13% of people are taking these drugs. So, and they're very expensive. And I think that's a big driver.
All right. And we will get to Medicare and we will talk more about the ACA. But I want to ask you about the large group market. These are larger companies that self-insure. I know that about half of the people in Maine are insured under them. So if you work for a large employer, that's likely where you fall. I know that the Maine Bureau of Insurance does not regulate those rates, but I am guessing that you're aware of what's going on with the rates. So tell us, are rates going up in those as well? And if so, is it for the same reason?
Yeah, rates are going up in that market as well. Typically, a large employer will renew. You know, a lot of them don't renew on January 1, so people won't, you know, yet feel the effects. But, you know, you're largely shielded because your employer picks up the majority of the premium. But people in that market segment will be affected. Maybe not to the extent that individuals will be and small employers will be, because they're separate risk pools. And there are things that a large employer may have, you know, better leverage in terms of negotiating with an insurance company, but they are going up. And it's due to the same reasons that underlie the cost increases that we're seeing.
All right. Now, Kate, I'll turn to you. According to the governor's office, about 61,000 people in Maine are insured through CoverMe, which is the state's ACA marketplace. And starting Saturday is the enrollment period. We're going to get back and discuss your guidance in signing up this year, given all the confusion. But first, what can people expect when they log into CoverMe? Bob hinted at this. What's it going to look like compared to last year?
Well, you know, as has been mentioned, rates are increasing. And on top of that, at this point in time, the enhanced premium tax credits, which Mainers and people across the country have been receiving for the past several years, have expired. So not only are rates increasing, but the financial assistance available has decreased. So premiums are going to look higher for most people. With that said, there is still advanced premium tax credits available for people. It's not the same level that was available last year, but there is still financial assistance available. And I think that's a misconception that all assistance has been eliminated. And so that's not true. So we really encourage people to log on and explore all of their options.
All right. And Hillary, these tax credits, the enhanced tax credits that Kate says have expired, this is at the center of what's going on with the government shutdown, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So that means that they've expired. They might come back and they might not come back. We're sort of at this in this holding pattern right now, trying to figure out what's next.
Yes, as Kate has said, Congress has not acted. So at this point in time, when CoverMe.gov goes live for our opening day on Saturday, November 1st, this coming Saturday, what people will see is the rates without these enhanced healthcare tax credits that most Mainers purchasing through CoverMe.gov have had access to. We are still hopeful that Congress will take action before the end of the year, but obviously that complicates matters as the open enrollment period is limited and people have to enroll at this point in time by December 15th for January 1st coverage. So they're making decisions right now that are really important for their households based on not having access to that financial assistance. And for a little bit under 20% of the people who get financial assistance right now, they will no longer be eligible for any financial assistance. But as Kate said, the majority, more than 60%, will still be eligible for some level. If Congress does act before the end of the year, you know, we operate within federal regulations and laws, but and state laws and regulations. but we will do everything in our power to make sure that those extra savings are available to Maine people.
Okay, Kate, so give us some sort of like on the ground guidance. I log into CoverMe. I say to myself, I can't afford this new cost. But maybe if the tax credits come back, I will be able to afford the new cost. What do I do? Do I sign up?
I think that's really a difficult decision for a lot of people, because we are, as Hillary said, hopeful that Congress will act and extend these enhanced tax credits, but there's no guarantee, and so it's going to be a really individual choice, how people weigh their plan options this year, and it m may look different from last year.
All right,
And
and
I would
Bob,
just say
go
that
ahead.
we have certified Maine enrollment assisters on staff, and there's Maine enrollment assisters throughout the state that are standing by, ready to help people navigate their options and have those conversations.
Bob, at the top of the program, you mentioned Medicare. What about Medicare, the program that's primarily used by people over 65? I understand there are about 385,000 Medicare beneficiaries in Maine, about 22, excuse me, 227,000 have a Medicare Advantage plan. What do they need to know about the coming year?
So big changes in Medicare Advantage. Many people, based on our assessment of the market, and again, I will say at the top, Medicare Advantage is regulated by the federal government. The states have no regulatory authority over Medicare Advantage or Medicare. But with regard to Medicare Advantage, 40,000 people are currently enrolled in plans that will no longer be available on January 1. So they need to take action. And we've been urging people to look at their options. There are Medicare supplement plans, which are essentially plans in which you can go to any doctor that takes Medicare or any facility that takes Medicare. You're not restricted to a network the way you are with Medicare Advantage. So that's an option for people. But if they want to continue on with the Medicare Advantage plan, I would highly encourage people to call the state health insurance program called SHIP. And that number is 877-353-3771. 877-353-3771. Those folks are trained Medicare advisors, and they can walk you through your options to decide, what plan would work best for you. I'm sure Kate and her team are helpful as well. But these folks are not paid by insurance companies. They're independent. They work for the area agencies on aging. So I would just encourage them and to take action. They will continue, if you don't do anything, you'll continue with traditional Medicare. But folks really should take a look at their options during the open enrollment period, which runs through December 7th for Medicare.
All right. And Bob, you said, did you say 40,000 people will lose their Medicare Advantage plan if they don't act? Who are those 40,000 people? What's going away?
Well, a bunch of the insurance companies that offer Medicare Advantage plans are either dropping a particular plan or cutting back in their service area. So Martin's Point or Humana or Aetna and Cigna and UnitedHealthcare and Anthem, they offer Medicare Advantage products in this market, and they're cutting back on the areas of the state in which they operate or cutting back on health plan
And
on
why are they doing that?
financial reasons. The federal government has started, I think, to put a bit more pressure on Medicare Advantage plans, and they're not returning the profits that they have been for years. And so they're retrenching and cutting back in their service area.
Okay, Hillary, we still
And this
haven't
is a
talked.
nationwide, again, this is a nationwide issue. It's affecting every state. The other thing I just before I forget is call you if you're working with a broker, call your broker. They can be helpful in helping you navigate your options.
All right. And Hillary, the one we haven't talked about right now is MaineCare, known as Medicaid in other states. About 400,000 people are enrolled in MaineCare. Earlier this year, we saw some headlines that people could lose their MaineCare coverage with federal cuts. Is that happening? And how does the federal shutdown affect MaineCare?
That question may be better for Kate, as I really oversee CoverMe.com. gov and not Maine Care, but
Okay.
yeah.
Yeah, Kate.
Say a lot of the headlines we've been seeing around changes to Maine Care are not being implemented this year.
Okay.
So, talk about work requirements, for example. That's not happening right now. So, there haven't been changes made to Maine Care for most people.
So the bottom line right now, from what I'm hearing from you all, Kate, if you are enrolled, or Hillary, if you're enrolled in CoverMe.org, pay close attention to possible changes. And Bob, if you have a Medicare Advantage plan, pay close attention and maybe either call your broker or call the SHIP, the State Health Insurance Program line, 877-353-3771. Okay, I think we've tried to parcel out what people need to know. So confusing because the plans and the ways that people are covered are so wildly different. Hillary, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say a couple more things about CoverMe.gov and when people come into the system on Saturday or next week to shop. One of the things is, as Bob and Kate have said, it's really important that people this year, especially this year, not just allow auto re-enrollment to happen. It's really important for them to pay attention to the notices that they receive us. Free receive from us, see whether they can afford those plans, and then go in and see what other plans are available through our plan comparison tool, which really allows people to more easily see plans across a number of different companies and compare them on an apples to apples basis. This year, within even different levels of plans, I'm seeing significant differences in those premiums. Typically, in typical years, you might see maybe a $10 or $20 difference in premiums across carriers, and I'm seeing hundreds of dollars of differences. And so it's really important to see what the prices look like, not just for the plan that you are currently enrolled in, but what are offered by other carriers. The other thing is to look at different categories of plans, because in some cases, and depending on your household demographics and where you live in the state, in some cases, I'm seeing better plans that have less out-of-pocket costs for you at not a lot more money. So, also, if people can't afford their plan this year, it might be the time to look to see whether you buy a plan with a higher deductible. It's important to note that most of our plans have quite a bit of pre-deductible coverage. So, most plans you get office visits, specialist visits, at least some, if not all, prescription drug coverage, urgent care, with a $10 to $50 copay in most cases, pre-deductible. So I really want to tell folks, don't let those deductibles scare you away. Make sure you're looking at the details of the plan coverage. And as Kate and Bob have said, if it's overwhelming and confusing, reach out and get support from experts that are free of charge to you that can help you enroll. And you can find those experts at coverme.gov/localhelp.
All right. Well, thank you all for spelling all of this out. And now it's time for our audience to ask questions. Our phone number 1-800-399-3566, or you can send a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we're talking about signing up for health care and being aware of how your health care coverage could change in the new year. With me, Kate Endy, who is Policy Director with Consumers for Affordable Healthcare. Bob Carey is with the Maine Bureau of Insurance. He is superintendent there. And Hillary Schneider is director of the Office of the Health Insurance Marketplace at Maine DHHS. Share your comments and questions. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. We already have so many questions coming in. We'll start with this email from Gabrielle. I have MS and I'm unable to work. I'm 63 on Social Security disability, Medicare A and B, and have Maine Care. Will my benefits end on November 1st due to the shutdown? Who knows the
No.
answer to that? No. Bob says no. Kate?
No, your benefits should not be changing due to the shutdown.
Okay. Two questions about Northern Light and Anthem. I'll read both of them. This email is from Donna. What is the current status of the relationship between Northern Light Health and Anthem Insurance? Where can those who carry Anthem Supplemental Medicare Insurance obtain advice and information? And then Greg says, where is state leadership on the contract dispute between Northern Light and Anthem? This is going to be huge if they don't reach an agreement by tomorrow afternoon, and people are already having trouble finding doctors accepting patients.
So I can just say, in terms of where's state leadership on this, I know the Health Insurance and Financial Services Committee is hearing information about this topic and is going to be opening it for public comment if people are interested in sharing their opinions, I believe next week, next Thursday.
Okay.
But if people have questions about in terms of how their specific plans, or if they need help navigating network changes, of course, they could always call our helpline, which is 1-800-965-7476.
Just to the first question is, the parties are in mediation right now, and so they're trying to, you know, finalize or at least reach agreement. It's critically important. I personally have spoken with the leadership at Northern Light and the leadership at Anthem and have urged them to come to terms. They're too big of a system to leave out of the network. I think they both need one another, unfortunately. And I know that the governor's office has been involved in trying to get the parties together. But, you know, this is a business to business relationship. And the state has limited authority to, you know, demand that, you know, the parties contract together. I still believe they will at the end of the day, but it's dragged on for too long, and it's caused quite a bit of confusion and, you know, disruption to people's health care. So again, when you're shopping for coverage, you know, reach out to the insurance company to make sure that your provider is in network, and make sure your hospital is in network, and make an informed decision.
We'll go to Jared, who's calling from Rockland. Hi, Jared. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question, and perhaps it's for Kate, it's regarding MaineCare. But the question is, in the course of a divorce where one parent has the responsibility, the financial responsibility for health care, but the other parent is the custodial parent of three children, who should be applying for the family, really for the kids, the parent that, you know, where the kids live, or the parent that's responsible financially for healthcare?
So MaineCare, in terms of countable income, is typically going to use the custodial parent's income. So it's often easiest when that parent is submitting an application.
Okay. And Kate, somebody with very specific questions like that can, again, call your helpline, right?
Absolutely. And we can walk them through that process and help with that.
Okay. And will you repeat the number?
Sure. 1-800-965-7476.
All right. Thank you so much. And good luck to you, Jared. Let's see here. We'll go to Topsom and Julie. Hi, Julie. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm Julie Pease. I'm calling from Topsom. And first, I just wanted to thank Bob, Kate, and Hillary for all of their help in helping us figure out our options in navigating our wildly complicated and expensive system. I'm a semi-retired psychiatrist, and I've also been a patient in our system. And my observation and message is that the insurance companies always win, and it's the patients who suffer. So I've gotten involved with Maine All Care, who propose an equitable single plan for everyone in Maine. And I know it would be complicated and difficult to get this passed, but it would bring simplicity and equitability to healthcare in Maine. And my question is whether you all are willing to make the effort to tackle all of the barriers to make something like this happen in Maine.
Julie, thanks for your call. Any of you?
As an organization, you know, our primary goal is to advocate for all people in Maine to have access to high quality, affordable health care and coverage. You know, my understanding is some plans require some federal waivers and some coordination between the federal and state government for implementation, which can be tricky. So I think there's only so much the state can do without, you know, assistance from the federal government as well.
Yeah, I would add that, you know, I was a consultant before I was the superintendent and worked a bit in Vermont when they were looking to establish a single payer system. And the complexity and the, you know, cross-border issues and federal programs and people covered by Medicare, and people covered under Medicaid, I think it's, I know actually that it's a much bigger lift than people recognize. I don't disagree with the caller that the system is overly expensive and it's reached sort of a tipping point, I think. You know, when you're expected to pay upwards of $40,000 if you don't have the subsidy for, you know, the premium and the out-of-pocket cost, that's not tenable for most people in Maine. And I think we really need to come to grips with the underlying cost that's driving the increase in premiums. I don't disagree that, you know, there's room for savings by insurance companies and improvement, but someone once asked, you know, John Dillinger why he robbed banks. He said, well, that's where the money is. And I think that you really have to follow the money, and it's the pharmaceutical companies and the health systems and hospitals and everybody else that's sort of living off of the healthcare system.
Julie, thanks for your call. An email here from Carl. I'm 63 years old. I live in Androscoggin County. I'm relatively healthy with aches. This morning, minutes ago, my health insurer, Community Health Options, notified me that my premium for 2026 is increasing 43%. If the health insurance tax credits are not continued, my annual premium will go from $710 a year to $17,705 per year. Based on my 2025 medical expenses, I will spend $1,000 on health expenses in 2026. My health insurance will cost 17.6 times more than my estimated health care expenses. Hillary, is Carl's story unusual?
Unfortunately, no. Carl's story is not unusual with the expiration of the enhanced healthcare tax credits. However, what I will say to Carl is that the health insurance companies do not have access to your financial applications that go through CoverMe.gov. So what they're sharing with you is the increase in the baseline premium rate. So it's really important to pay attention to the notice that you get from CoverMe towards the end of this week when open enrollment starts. And when you go into the system, put in your household income into CoverMe.gov, the household income you expect for 2026, to see what your actual savings will be. And then, as I had said previously, I'd encourage consumers like Carl to go in and, what I would encourage when people get those notices from us that actually not only have their premiums, but have what financial savings they qualify for based on their most up-to-date information in our system, is to breathe, take a breath, and then go in and see what your options are. Work with a local expert before you make sudden decisions. And I say that for a couple of reasons. One is update the information in our system, because some folks haven't updated their income for a couple of years and there might have been significant changes. And so if you update, you might find out that you're eligible for more financial savings than you had anticipated. And then shop around for coverage, because you might find a plan from a different carrier that you can afford, or you might find a plan for somebody like Carl who doesn't need a lot of healthcare services. You could look at one of a plan with a higher deductible, but that has a lot of that pre-deductible coverage that would cover your office visits, that would cover generic prescription drugs, that would cover urgent care at no more than deductible. So there may be times when people are buying bronze plans because the premium is lower and still getting enough care that they need that they're not going to hit that deductible.
An email here from Bill. I'm with a Maine nonprofit provider for Medicare Supplemental. Is there an advantage between nonprofit or for-profit providers? Kate?
I mean, it's a different, the company is structured differently. I think it's important that everybody look at all of their options that are available to them. Nonprofit status might be something that's important to some people more so than others, but would really encourage people to look at their plans, the benefits that are being provided, the network of providers that are covered, to see what's going to work best for them.
All right, we'll go to Michael, who's calling from York. Hi, Michael, go ahead.
Yes, I'd just like to speak in support of Maine Oral Care. And I'd like to point out that the rest of our economic peers throughout the world pay 10 to 12% of their GDPs on medicine, and we pay around 18%. And they all seem to do a lot better than we do. In particular, they live longer, the simplest measure. Maine Oral Care, as I understand it, I think of it kind of like Medicare for everyone. And again, I'd like to speak in support of that and think that we as a nation can do a lot better, and Maine too.
Michael, thank you. And Bob, this is what our earlier caller was calling about. And what about Michael's additional point that here in the States, we aren't doing as well as our peers?
He's right. We aren't doing as well as, other countries. I mean, other countries set prices for drugs, for example. We don't. So we pay an exorbitant amount of money for prescription drugs compared to what they're paying in Canada or what they're paying in the UK. The other issue that people don't sort of realize is that our health system is, meaning the doctors and the hospitals are materially more expensive, and they get paid much more here in the United States than they do in other countries. Now, there's pluses and minuses to that, but I think the underlying point is true. We pay a greater share of our gross domestic product on medical services and healthcare, and the outcomes are certainly no better, and in some cases worse than they are in other countries. But, my bigger point is this is a national conversation. Maine isn't going to set prices for prescription drugs. It's just that's not the way our system works. So I think we just need to be clear-eyed when we start discussing and considering alternative approaches to the system we have.
What are your questions for our experts about your health care coverage? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. I'll repeat that, 1-800-399-3566. If you're quick, you can send an email, talk@mainpublic.org, or find us on Instagram or Facebook. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today, we are talking about health insurance, getting answers to your questions. My guests, Bob Carey, Superintendent of the Maine Bureau of Insurance, and Hillary Schneider, Director of the Office of the Health Insurance Marketplace at DHHS. Also with us, Kate Endy with Consumers for Affordable Healthcare. She is Policy Director there. Call with your questions, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org or post to our Facebook page or to Instagram. Both Bob and Kate have mentioned some phone numbers for help. I'm going to ask you all to repeat those. Those will also be on our Maine Calling webpage and in the Maine Calling newsletter. So, Kate, again, one more time, what is the phone number for Consumers for Affordable Healthcare?
Our helpline is 1-800-965-7476.
All right. And Bob, for the people who have private health insurance, especially Medicare, where do you recommend they call?
So for Medicare questions, they should call the state health insurance program, which is run through the Area Agencies on Aging. And the general number is 877-353-3771. For people who have what I call commercial insurance, so not Medicare and not Maine Care, I would direct them to Cover Me as the resource, and Hillary can give that number. They can also call the Bureau of Insurance at 800-300-5000, 800-300-5000. I would urge people, if they And they will, you know, people will get a text message or an email or a phone call, you know, and someone's promoting a plan, you know, can save you 50%, or it's, you know, it's going to make you cure all your ills. Be very wary of those types of offers, and call us, please, before you give anybody your credit card or you sign up for coverage. We see an unfortunate number of people who get caught up in these scams and have given money to companies or individuals, and they have no benefit or very little benefit. So be very aware of that.
So being armed with the information from today and knowing that our healthcare costs are going up, if you hear of something that's too good to be true, you would recommend that someone call the Bureau of Insurance right away.
Yeah, get it in writing. Don't just take someone's word for it over the phone or even via email. You just see an unfortunate, lots of times where there's confusion, people jump in to try to take advantage. And so if you have any questions, about a company, is it licensed to sell in Maine? Is it available? Please call us 800-300-5000 before you do anything, particularly in terms of giving any information. And Kate's group also is extremely helpful and can help people walk through legitimate options. I mean, I get them sent to my text, and it's an interesting conversation when I call them back, put it that way.
And Hillary, the phone number for CoverMe?
Yeah, and we also operate a consumer assistance center for those who have questions about enrolling in CoverMe, and we are open on Saturday when open enrollment starts, and the number is 1-866-636-0355. We also have language services for languages other than English, and can call TTY711 if you have a hearing disability.
Okay, great. We'll go to Stephanie calling from Portland. Hi, Stephanie. Go ahead.
Hi, yes. A year ago, we got on the CoverMe insurance through Maine. I'm a Portland resident, and we called the CoverMe number. We spoke to a real person, and at the end of all the documents that were signed, without realizing it, somewhere inside of the CoverMe insurance that we agreed to and read and researched, we were charged over $2,000 in additional coverage because there was a private insurance carrier inside what we were sold, and it was not the insurance we signed up for. And when we signed our initials, we were signing it under the CoverMe name with a CoverMe representative. And we're still in talks with the state of Maine to try to figure out how to get that money back. So it's really scary to be a resident here and to be hearing all of this and know what has happened to us. And, we're two working professionals in the state. We should be able to figure out how to get health insurance, and CoverMe totally did not work for us. We've been completely frauded out of thousands of dollars.
Hillary, do you have a question, a follow-up question for Stephanie, or are you aware of what's going on?
No, I'm not aware of that situation. I would say, that is not something that happens when people enroll through CoverMe.gov. Or by calling our number. I think if that was the case for Stephanie, sounds like she is working with the state. I don't know whether it's the Bureau of Insurance or CoverMe.gov, but obviously in instances like that, our offices would work together, because it sounds like that is, without knowing further details, that is not something that is a typical scenario and is something we would investigate. If it came across my desk, I would make sure that was resolved as quickly as possible. And I know Bob would do the same.
Wasn't there some confusion in the past, too, that people are going to coverme.org instead of coverme.gov? Am I remembering that accurately? I guess not, but make sure you're going to coverme.gov. Bob, is there anything you wanted to add?
No, just that, in these instances, we have people that will investigate, and we do a good job of chasing down money. We recovered over $5 million on behalf of Maine people last year across property and casualty and health and life insurance. So we have folks that are expert at this and that can help you. And so I would encourage the caller to, if she hasn't, and she has any, you know, insurance issues, to please, you know, contact us. You can email us as well at insurance.pfr, P as in Peter, F as in Frank, R as in Robert, at maine.gov, insurance.pfr at maine.gov. And there's also online, there's a complaint form for folks to fill out if they want to just go online.
Mm. And Stephanie, good luck to you. Bob, did you say $5 million recovered last year?
Yes, ma'am. $5 million.
Wow. We'll
exceed that in 2025, unfortunately. So our folks are, you know, chasing, you know, it could be a denied claim. It could be scam insurance. I mean, there's lots of different reasons why we're, you know, we get involved. But I have a team of people that are dedicated to help Maine people and Maine business.
We'll go to Bill calling from Bangor. Hi, Bill. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes. Thank you for taking my call. I have two questions. First of all, my wife and I are both retired, and I was wondering, when looking at or changing policies or changing coverage, is there an issue with pre-existing conditions? My wife's diabetic. I have heart issues. And then also, second question is, when we retired, I retired a couple of years before my wife. I have one plan from Anthem Blue Cross, and my wife has AARP United Healthcare. Are there family or group plans or that type of thing?
Kate, is this a question for you?
Well, it sounds like this might be a Medicare-related coverage, in which case I would echo what Bob said earlier about calling the Area Agencies on Aging at 877-353-3771, because they're the real experts on Medicare coverage.
Okay, Bill, good luck to you. Thanks for calling in.
Just in the individual commercial market, so in you know the marketplace that Hillary runs and her team, there is no exclusion for pre-existing conditions. And then on the Medicare side, during open enrollment, if you're in a Medicare Advantage plan, you can change during this open enrollment period. Or if I, as I mentioned, 40,000 Mainers are going to lose their Medicare Advantage plan and they'll have to choose another one. That allows you also to apply for a Medicare supplement plan and not have to go through what's called health underwriting. So there's no consideration of any of your pre-existing conditions. If you wait and you, after the enrollment period, then you may be subject to that. So I urge people to take action, particularly if their plan is being dropped. They have a period of time in which they can enroll without being subject to medical underwriting.
An email.
Yeah, and
Kim. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to go back to Bob's comments about scam plans. You know, if you are getting, if you're buying coverage on your own and you're under 65, you're in this, the individual market, and you're getting an offer, like Bob said, through a text or something that says you're going to save lots of money and they have a pre-existing condition, that's a warning sign that that's not comprehensive coverage, that that's not coverage that is regulated by the Bureau of Insurance. It's not cover me coverage, because as Bob said, there are no pre-existing condition exclusions or waiting periods for coverme.gov coverage.
We'll go to an email from Kim. I currently live in Maryland and I'm on Maryland Medicaid. I have stage 4 cancer and I'm considering moving full-time to my cabin in Maine. How should I go about applying for Maine Care? Is it probably impossible for me to make the switch given my health care needs? Kate?
Not at all. Maine Care has no pre-existing condition exclusions either. And so you can apply online, mymaineconnection.gov. You can call our helpline and we can have somebody walk you through the application. But there's definitely assistance with this process, and that shouldn't be a barrier to enrolling in Maine Care coverage in Maine.
All right. We'll go to Tom calling from Bridgeton. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I'm a retired physician, now living in Bridgeton, and I have two questions and points that I hope the participants will respond to. The first because I was an economist as well as a doc in my earlier years, is about the effect of what we all call with enthusiasm insurance, but for most working families, sounds and feels much more like catastrophic insurance only. In point of fact, the ability simply to buy insurance doesn't alter, especially for people with silver plans and below, the inordinate and hugely burdensome cost of deductibles. If deductibles are figured into the expenses that people pay and the behaviors that they change when they're facing as a family $10,000 to $12,000 of deductible before an insurance even kicks in, I think it would be fair to conclude that, as certainly with around the my neighborhood with the friends that I have, that it alters the decision to whether or not to seek care. There is no other civilized place in the world where that kind of burden is placed a priori before a decision to get medical help. And hoping people will understand that this is under insurance, and under insurance affects people's long-term health in a grand way by not taking care of things early and regularly. The second point I wanted to make is about where the money could come from in a publicly funded, main state-based coverage plan. And that is from the administrative overhead and the cost of doing business, simply based on the needs and costs of running a multi-commercial, multi-insurance, multi-different kind of plan sets of policies. I would point out that I, as a Medicare recipient now, and as an economist too, note that the overhead costs for running the Medicare program nationally is in the 3 to 3.5% range, and within Maine, the overhead costs of running the Maine Medicaid program is in the 4 to 6% range. The amount of money saved between the 23 to 25% overhead absorbed by the insurance companies and the 3 to 6% costs of running public programs would be more than enough to sort of eliminate deductibles and their effects on medical decision making, and even to make other kinds of care like eye, ear, and dental care includable in a coverage policy.
Tom, thank you so much for calling in. We're getting close to the end of the program. I want to go back to your first point, which is about, we're talking about premium costs primarily here. But and I want to ask you, I guess I'll turn to you, Hillary. Tom, really elucidates a concern that I suspect all of you have, is that as these costs go up, not just for premiums, but also for deductibles and copays, that people will not get the care that they need.
I would say I share those concerns. However, I just want to remind people again, because it's often not understood, is that most of our plans provide quite a bit of coverage pre-deductible. So people can get scared away by those deductibles, but really should look at the plan details on our plan shopping site, because most plans cover office visits, specialist visits, all prescription drugs, but most plans cover at least some prescription drug coverage, as well as urgent care coverage with that it is pre-deductible with just a copay. Unless somebody has health conditions, they will not hit that deductible. And that deductible really is there to protect them from medical bankruptcy if they had a serious illness. I'll also say that that there are Mainers who qualify for cost sharing reductions through the marketplace. And so people should really look into that, which means that they can purchase a silver plan and it lowers not only their premiums through the premium tax credit, but they also get savings that lower their out-of-pocket costs that make those deductibles for silver plans much lower.
All right. And we have about a minute left, Hillary, but I'm going to come back to you to ask you. Right now, we're in a government shutdown. I know you're hopeful that Congress will come back and will extend the enhanced tax credits that so many people may lose. What will you do if Congress does act and extends the enhanced tax credits?
Yeah, as long as Congress acts and extends them for plan year 26, we will do everything in our power, everything that's legal, to make those available to Maine people, which means we will reissue all notices that and send them to our consumers with what their updated savings will be, and we will make those available to consumers as quickly as possible. Our team is also tracking plan cancellations, and we will be doing outreach to folks who canceled plans to let them know that there have been changes. And we will communicate to everybody we know to get the word out to Maine people that something has changed and that they need to come back and contact us, or we will be updating the coverage for folks who have purchased coverage through the marketplace. The other thing we will look into is the ability for people to reshop for plans. And as long as we can make that happen in a legal manner, we will allow people to reshop for plans with the updated savings.
Well, thank you all. That's Hillary Schneider, Director of the Office of the Health Insurance Marketplace. Bob Carey, also with us for the hour, the Maine Bureau of Insurance Superintendent, and Kate Endy, Policy Director with Consumers for Affordable Healthcare. Today's sound engineer, Jane Donahue. Maine Calling, produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. This is Maine Public Radio.